have the greatest story ever told, and we're telling it from generation to generation. We've been doing that for almost 2,000 years now. The story that he is alive. You know, everything that we celebrate today is at the heart of what we say we believe. If you take the events of what we're celebrating today, if you take that out of our belief system, then nothing else matters. Because we are without hope in this world. There is no other reason for us to be here. We're wasting our time. But if it is true that Jesus Christ is alive today, that he is risen, then that changes everything in our life, doesn't it? It changes everything. And that's what we're going to look at today. Rick Warren, the author of Purpose Driven Life, together with his wife, Kay, several years ago, you might remember that they lost their son, 27 years old, Matthew. He took his life, suffered from depression and mental illness for many years. And around a year after this, he was interviewed by someone, and I want to read what he said. He said, "I've often been asked, how have you made it? How have you kept going through your pain?" And he said, "I've often replied, the answer is Easter. The answer is Easter." He said, "You see, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus happened over 3 days, not just one. And so Friday was the day of suffering, pain, and agony. Saturday was the day of doubt and confusion and frustration. But Easter, that Sunday, was a day of hope, joy, and victory." He said, "The fact of life is you're going to go through those days many, many times in your life. Your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you're going to always get to the question where you ask, how do I get through my pain? How do I get to the times of those joy, that time of victory in my life?" And he says that the answer is Easter. The answer is Easter. So you see, I believe that you're here for a reason, that you may be here and you may think that your life just is a big Friday. And that's how you would describe your life. Your life is a Friday. You got the pain, you got the suffering, you got the rejection from other people around you. Or maybe you would describe your life as a Saturday. You remember what happened on Saturday. There was a lot of confusion that was going on. There was doubt in their minds. And there was just a lot of frustration about what was happening in that moment. But I'm here to tell you that today is Sunday, and Jesus Christ is alive. And so whatever circumstances you're going through today, that because he lives, he has overcome those circumstances in your life. And so we can come here and know that he has brought hope where there was none. He has brought joy where there's none. He has brought victory in your life when you felt like that you were defeated in your life, because he is alive. He is alive. And that changes everything. And so we're going to look at two passages today. We're going to look at how the resurrection changes everything. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Questions from the church in Corinth have made its way all the way to Paul. And he gets here to chapter 15. And they have questions about Jesus and his resurrection and what's really going on, what's true in their life. And maybe you're here today and you have those questions as well about the reality of the resurrection and its power in your life. I'm here to tell you it can change you, and it will. And that's what we're going to see in this passage. Sometimes it's best just to go directly to the scriptures and just read from the Word of God. And that's what I'm going to do today in verse 12. Please listen to this closely. It says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of a people to be most pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And now going down to verse 51, it says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there's great significance in what we celebrate today, probably the greatest event that we will ever celebrate, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, who is alive today. And that changes everything, and it can change your life. And that's what God wants to do today. He wants to take and He wants to bring hope where there is none in your life today through the resurrection. And that's what this passage is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ, who went and He died on that cross. He had His nails pierced, His hands and His feet. He had that crown of thorns on His head. He hung up there on that cross until His last breath He breathed. And He said, "It is finished." Tetelestai, it is finished. It has been completed. And then he passes away. He dies. But what this passage tells us is that it was true what Jesus said before that after 3 days, breath began to enter into His lungs. His heart began to beat again. Blood began to run through His veins again. His hands and His feet started moving again. And then He was raised up to life, into new life. And that means that there was victory over death. Where, O death, is your sting? Because Jesus Christ had defeated death. And this changes everything, as it did for the disciples. Can you imagine someone that you know of that was just killed right in front of you? And you know, maybe you've experienced that before. You know that they were dead and there was no life in them at all. And all of a sudden, they're just standing right there in front of you and they're alive. And they're talking to you and you can feel their hands and you can see the scars in their hands. And you can hug them and you can hold them. And you can tell that this is real life. This is no hallucination. This is no ghost. But this is a real body. You see, in Luke, it tells us all of a sudden when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the disciples' eyes were opened. They remembered. They remembered, yes, Jesus thought about this. Jesus told us, He said, before He went to Jerusalem, He said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be raised on that cross. I'm going to be killed on a cross and I'm going to die. But 3 days later, I would raise again to life. They remembered that and it changed them. It changed everything about the disciples. Everything that Jesus spoke to them was true. And so now Peter could stand up to a crowd those next days. He could stand up to a crowd in Jerusalem of people from every nation there. And he could boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. As he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, this is his sermon. He says, "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has been poured out on what you now see and hear." And over 3,000 people were convinced of that truth right there that Peter had proclaimed to them, and they were saved and their lives were completely different from then on out. See, the resurrection changes everything whenever you receive it into your life. So this group of disciples were impacted by this resurrection in a very powerful way. This ragtag group ended up being the most important people in all of history because of the resurrection. We know that Jesus had siblings also, right? He had some brothers, He had some sisters. And so two of His brothers were named James and Jude. And we know that they were against Jesus whenever He was alive. They didn't believe in Him. And there was a point in his ministry whenever He was teaching at a house. And the house was crowded. It was full of people. And so they come into the house and they start pulling Him out. And they said, "No, don't believe in this guy. He's lost His mind. He's embarrassing the family." And they were so embarrassed by Jesus Christ. But after the resurrection, that changed everything for them. They actually saw Jesus Christ alive with their own eyes. And that changed everything. All of a sudden, we see James in the New Testament. Now he's the leader in the church in Jerusalem. We see Jude. He's a traveling apostle. He's a traveling missionary. All these countries around the world he's traveling to, he's spreading the gospel about Jesus Christ is alive. See, the gospel changed their lives to the point to where they would die for their faith because of what they saw and what they witnessed in Jesus. All of a sudden, everything that he said was true. And was proved to be true in their life. So I'm telling you, the resurrection makes all the difference in the world, and it changes who you are. And it should change your life as well. So now would you please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. If you've been with us here the last several weeks, then you know that we've been going through a series in 1 Thessalonians. And you know that the last couple of weeks, we ended on this passage right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Now I'm telling you, I did not plan that. I didn't plan my weeks where we would fall right here on this verse, which happens to be one of the most famous verses about the resurrection and the return of Christ in the New Testament. I didn't plan that. That had to be the sovereignty of God. And so there's no accident that we're in this passage. There's no accident that you are here today. And if all of that is true, then that means that God has a word for you today in this passage. And I believe that with all my heart. And so we're going to look at it because the resurrection changes everything. And in this passage, 1 Thessalonians, he gives us the reasons for why the resurrection matters for you. How does the resurrection change things for me? First, in this passage, we see that because of the resurrection, we now have a supernatural revelation. A supernatural revelation. He says in verse 13, he says, I do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. And the word uninformed also means ignorant here. I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. He wants to reveal something to us about the truth about the dead. He wants to show us that with the resurrection of Christ, that gives us a whole new outlook on things in our life, including how we view death. You see, the world, they see things differently than we do. Satan has blinded them completely. And they cannot see the power of the resurrection in a person's life. And so because of that, that when they grieve, whenever someone, a loved one that they lose in their life, they have no hope. They grieve, he says in this passage, they grieve as someone that doesn't have any hope. And can you imagine that? Losing a loved one that you don't know for sure that they are a believer in Jesus Christ. There is no hope in that situation, and it breaks your heart. But how many of you in here, you've lost a loved one and you know without a shadow of a doubt that they were a believer in Jesus Christ? How many of you? You know that you were at that funeral, you were standing over their body right there, and as pretty as their body was, the prettiest that mortician made their body, that they were not there, but they were more alive than they've ever been. You see, that's the power of the resurrection. That's the hope that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. You see, every person, including everyone in here, at some point in their life, you ask yourself the question, every person, 7 billion people have asked this question, and how can I run from the enemy, my last enemy, death? How can I keep from death? Because you can't hide from it. You can't run from death. You can't appease him. You can't buy him off. Therefore, there is nothing that you can do to be able to overtake that enemy. All of us are going to experience death. Last time I checked, 1 out of every 1 person dies, right? I mean, that's the statistic of the year, right? 1 out of every 1 person dies. You know that's going to happen. That reminded me, a few years ago, a letter went out from Greenville County, South Carolina, Department of Social Services. And this letter was addressed to over 50 former residents who had recently died. And so everyone receives this letter, and here's what the letter said. It says, to whom it may concern, your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately because we have received notice that you have passed away. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And you know, someone had to actually write that letter. That's what blows me away, okay? But death will come, right? But what the resurrection says is that you can overcome that enemy through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? And so now, whenever you stand over a believer, it's different than standing over an unbeliever. So while an unbeliever may look down at their unbelieving friends and think, my goodness, that's it for them. They're done. And you grieve as someone who's lost someone forever. You will never see them again. They're done. They're dead. Stephen Hawking said before he died, he said he believed that whenever he died, it would be someone like just turning off a computer, just darkness, just nothing. Whenever the resurrection of Jesus Christ and those 500 witnesses that saw him are screaming to us, no, that is not the end. Because Jesus is alive, that means that I can be alive as well and he can raise me as well. And that's what we see in this passage, that we will be alive with him. And Jesus is the proof of that. Yes, we grieve, and there are tears of sadness of being presently separated from them for a time. But we have a confident hope that the rest of the world cannot have. We have a hope because we have been given the revelation of what is next. And Paul goes on here to explain in this hope in verse 14. It says, "For we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." And so we have been blessed with a revelation, yes. But part of this revelation is to give us the hope of a personal resurrection, that we will one day be resurrected. Yes, we will die, unless Jesus Christ comes back. But at some point in the future, and I think it's a near future, because of the union we have in Christ, because of the relationship we have in Christ, he says that I will raise you. He will raise me. And we know that because he raised his son, Jesus Christ. And so we can have confidence that at one point in our life, we will have a resurrection also. He defeated death so that we didn't have to die. It's all about the resurrection, that there is a resurrection that is coming. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach Martha. She's at the tomb of Lazarus there, and Jesus comes in late, and she's just kind of complaining to him and wondering, why weren't you here early? You could have saved him. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Martha," he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "The one who believes in me will live even though you die." Even though you die, if you believe in me, you will never die. Do you believe in this? I am the resurrection and the life. And so his resurrection assures us of our resurrection. And so we have the confident hope. We are different than the rest of the world. And so what happens whenever believers die? It's obvious from this passage that they go on to be with the Lord. That Jesus said that he is going to prepare a place for us. You remember this passage in John? He's going to prepare a place for you. And that's what I preach on whenever I go to a funeral. I want to make sure that the family understand that Jesus went and he prepared a place for them. That he was there and he was working all their life as hard as he could, preparing that place just for them, that space, that room, just for them. And whenever it was time to go get them, he went to his father. He said, "Okay, Father, is it time?" And he said, "Yes, go get your bride." And he went down and he received that person unto himself, that they are with the Lord in the presence of the Lord. And that right there is our guarantee. That place that he has prepared for us is our guarantee that we will one day be with him. That's what he's building for us. He's building us a place, a dwelling place. It's meant for us to live there with him. And so if you believe that truth right there, if you believe that one truth right there, that changes everything about your perspective of your life on this earth. All of a sudden, this is not my home. This is not my permanent home here on this earth. I'm just passing through, is what Paul says, tells us. I'm just passing through. And so why in the world will we allow the concerns of this world to distract us from the kingdom? But we do. Welcome to Satan's strategy in your life. He's trying to distract you to realize that just to make you think that this is it. This is all you've got. And so he's distracting us from our home and our kingdom of heaven. And so all of a sudden, all the concerns in our life that we have, all the struggles, all the suffering, they're all of a sudden just blown up in our life. And Jesus is saying, no, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of those things bow in comparison to the victory that he's given us and the kingdom home that we'll have with him one day. You see, Jesus is alive. And if you believe that, everything changes. Because he lives, I don't have to be afraid anymore. Because he lives, Satan has no right over my life anymore. Because he lives, I can be forgiven. If Jesus was still dead, if Jesus was somehow still dead in a grave somewhere, rotting in a grave, then his plan would have failed. And that means that I would still be dead in my sins. But he is alive, and therefore I am completely cleansed by my sins because of what he did for me on the cross. He guaranteed life for me. He had victory over that death. And so because he lives, I can see that difficult person who I can't seem to get along with. I see them in a whole new light, don't I? I can forgive them. I don't have to hold a grudge for people because this isn't it. This isn't my home. And so the concerns of this world all of a sudden bow to the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And so I can forgive people around me. I see people in a whole new light. Because he lives, my priorities have changed in my life. The Bible talks about how short that this life is. He tries to get across in 7 different metaphors on how short that our life is. Whether it's a flower that's withering away, as we have seen in the springtime, they just kind of wither away. And if it's a mist that completely disappears, how short and how brief that this life just flies on by. Because he lives, we can have hope where there is none. And we know, we are confident in what is completely worthless in this life and what is precious in this life. It changes things. The resurrection changes things in your life. So his resurrection assures us of our resurrection, and this changes things. In the next verse, we see here that we're not just guaranteed a resurrection, but we're also guaranteed a reunion. A wonderful reunion. Look in verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with him, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. The great hope of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That at some point, Jesus will come down. Just as he saw, as the apostles saw him going up into the clouds. It tells us that in Acts chapter 1. Just as you saw him go, that's how he's going to return back to this earth. And he says he'll come down with a loud command, a shout. This is a military term. It means to get the troops' attention. And it's a shout. It's time. Jesus Christ is alive and he's returned for his children. And then there's a trumpet which pronounces the coming of Jesus Christ. When will that happen? I don't know. I don't know when that's going to happen. Are there signs? Yeah, we can look at and everything to see. Yes, all that's great. But we do know that whenever the last person gets saved, is supposed to get saved, whenever that last person gets saved, we know that Jesus Christ will break through heaven, break through earth. He'll come back and he'll get his children. Just think about that. I mean, it could happen anywhere in this world. That person might be even alive today in a hut somewhere in a village in Africa or in the biggest city in the world or the smallest town somewhere in South America, or it could even be in this room today. Have you ever thought about that? That God has been patient with you and he has been lingering just so that you would have a chance to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. That he's waiting for you. That's how much he loves you, that he's willing to wait for you. Because as soon as he comes back, it tells us it'll be like Noah's Ark. Whenever Noah and all of his family and all those animals entered into the ark, all of a sudden the last one came in. And what happened? The door was closed. And that was it. No more opportunity. No more hope for anyone outside that ark. It was death for them. But that hasn't happened yet. And so that means that door is still open and God is still changing lives because of his resurrection. And that's what he wants to do for you today. He wants to change your life so that you can come and be a part of what he's doing here through his resurrection. And so the question we ask, just screaming from this passage today, is are you prepared to be reunited with Jesus Christ on that day? Is your heart prepared for that? Paul tells us that you can be ready. And he makes it clear to us in this passage. He says, the dead in Christ will rise. The dead in Christ, in Christ. In Christ. Those two words right there, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, they should haunt you, because that's the only thing that matters, is that you are in Jesus Christ. And that's how we will experience His resurrection. And it only makes sense. He's the one that raised from the dead. And so if He raised from the dead, if I'm in Him, then He promises that I'll be raised from the dead as well. And that's how we experience the new life in Him. He says that whenever Jesus returns, all of those who are still alive, who are in Christ, will be swept away in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be reunited with His Lord and with the other believers forever. That's the great hope that we have. You see, in Revelation 20, it explains to us that after this happens, this future event, at some point, what's going to happen is there's going to be a book that's going to be open. It's called the Book of Life. And everyone's going to be there. The unbelievers, the believers, however many billions of people that have been alive, have ever had life within them, will be at the great white throne of judgment. And so at that throne of judgment there, He lifts up this book, this book of life. And in this book, it has all the names that are listed of everyone who has ever received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus reads through the names. And He tells us every name who's not written in this book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. See, it's the great white throne of judgment. He says, everyone that is not written in this book. And if that's true, I mean, Jesus, everything else that Jesus has said has proven to be true. So why not this? And if that one truth, if that's true right there, then the most crucial thing in your life today is to make sure that your name is written in that book, and that one day He will call out your name. That is the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. And that's the opportunity that He gives us right here, to make sure that your name is written in that book. And He tells us how. He tells us how we can get our names written. He says, what you need to do is you need to bow before God, and you need to confess the fact that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's nothing that we ourselves can do about that. We are lost. There's a huge chasm between us and God that we created because of our sin. And there's nothing that we can do to get over to the other side. But because of the salvation, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He has bridged the way for us. And so therefore, if you right now, you can do this. You can accept Jesus Christ. You can pray to Him and say, God, I am a sinner and I need You right now in my life. There is nothing I can do without You. And I pray that You would come and be Lord and Savior of my life. It says that He will. He says He'll come and He'll bring life into you. His Holy Spirit will enter into you. And you can know without a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in the book of life. The hope that we have, all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection changes everything, and He wants to change your life today. You can be buried with Christ and raised like Him to walk in newness of life. You know, there was a man, the story of a man, true story, of a man who had a fairly large family. And this man was dying, and he knew it, and he knew that he didn't have much time left, and so he wanted to have his family come in the same room with him, and he wanted each of them to come by his bed and just explain to them how much they meant to him. And so he started with his wife, and his wife came, and she stood by his bed, and he just went on and on about how much she meant to him. And then finally he said, honey, I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. Because he understood about the power of the resurrection. And each of his sons came through, and they stood next to him. He said, son, I'll see you in the morning. That is, until he got to his last son. His name was Charlie. Charlie was kind of the wild one of the bunch, the black sheep of the family. He just kind of looks at Charlie and says, Charlie, sorry, I'm going to have to tell you that this is goodbye. This is goodbye. All of a sudden, Charlie's attention just got picked up. And he's like, Dad, you told everyone else, I'll see you in the morning, but you just told me goodbye. What's the deal there? And he said, Charlie, well, as far as I can remember, I never remember a time when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And so therefore, whenever I die, I will never see you again. And so I'm going to have to say goodbye. And that right there made a huge impact on Charlie's life, to the point to where he broke down right there at his father's bed, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ right there. And then his dad looked at him and he said, "Charlie, I'll see you in the morning." And he's been preaching the gospel ever since that point. He gave his life over to Jesus Christ, and he surrendered his life from that day forward. And it changed him. You see, the resurrection changes everything. It gives us the hope that we need, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so can you go to a point in your life where you know without a shadow of a doubt that you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and that your name is written in that book of life, and he'll call out your name one day? You may say, "Well, I've always been a believer." No, that's a lie. You've never always been a believer. I've had someone tell me, "Well, my parents were believers, and so obviously I kind of fall under them," right? No, that's not right. There had to be a time in your life when you bowed your knee to the Lord and you accepted him for yourself as Savior and Lord of your life. And if you have not done that, then there is no hope for you today. And your name is not written in that book. But if you have, you have every hope in the world. And that should change everything in your life. And so what if it was today? What if Jesus one day holds up his book and he's reading through the list and he says, "Oh, there it is. April 1st, 2018, blank gave his or her life to Jesus Christ from Emmanuel Baptist Church, right here in this service." That can be you. You can fill in that blank today. And I pray that it is. I pray that that is your testimony for the rest of your life. "I was dead, but because of Jesus Christ, he made me alive." And that can be your testimony. And I pray that it is today. So maybe you're here and you need a little of that resurrection hope in your life. That resurrection hope just to come and change you. You realize the power that he's given you. I hope you have. You see, there are some believers here. You're still walking around with the stench of death on you. And all around you, everyone around you, they can smell it. They see it in your life. They see that they're still walking in death. Even though they gave their life to Jesus Christ, they understand the power of the resurrection, but they still smell like death. Does that describe who you are today? Because what's happening in your life is you're living in the Friday still. You're living in that pain. You're living in the agony. You're living in the rejection from other people. Or maybe you're still living in the Saturdays with the confusion and the doubts and the frustrations going on in your life. And they're just overcoming you to the point to where you just are worried so much about the concerns around you. And there's no hope in your life, and you're just so pressed down by this life, and you're in a depression, and it's just sucking the life right out of you. Maybe you're here and you're just bound by this unhealthy worldly grief of a lost one that you've loved. And it's causing you to be depressed and to lose the life that God has for you. See, there's so many things, so many ways that Satan wants to just squish you down until you're completely ineffective in this world. That's what he's trying to do for you today. But I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. Today is Sunday. Today is different for you. Today is different. And he wants to come and he wants to show you how he's overcome your circumstances as well. That you can live in that resurrection power. The chains have been broken. You have been free. He says, "I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. Jesus is alive, and he can be alive in your life today." Today is Sunday. And he is alive. So as our musicians come up today, we're going to go to a time of invitation. And this is probably the most important day in your life, only because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so you have been given an opportunity today. The word of God has been revealed to you. The power of the resurrection has been revealed to you. And you need to make certain that at some point, whenever Jesus opens that book and he starts reading through those names, that your name is going to be written in the book of life today. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that hope? And maybe you're a believer today and you're living in the Fridays. You're living in the Saturdays. Life is just pressing you down and you know it. You feel it. And you smell the stench of death all around you. I'm telling you, he wants to bring you alive, because today we understand that Jesus is alive. It's Sunday. Today is different. And you, for you. See, you can have the victory over Satan in your life. And that's what he wants to show you. It's all because of the power of the resurrection. He is alive. That means I can be alive as well. And so I pray that you would allow him and realize that power that he wants to give you today. And he has overcome your circumstances. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the life that you've been given us, the hope that we have, the strength that we've been given because of your resurrection, the victory that we have because that you are alive and that you have overcome death. You've overcome my circumstances. You've given me a new hope and a new plan. Following that plan is with what I want to do with all my heart right now, dear Father. And I pray that if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you as the Lord and Savior, that has not received that resurrection power in their life, they would do that right now. I thank you for the life that you've given us. And that's what we celebrate today. The fact that it is Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray.